Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 174 to close at 23,924, down below 24,000 now. S&P 500 down 19 at 2,635. NASDAQ Composite down 29 at 7,100. Russell 2000, small and mid-caps, up 4 at 1,554. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note down 1 basis point at 2.96%. Oil up 43 cents at $67.68 per barrel. Gold up a dollar at $13.05.60 per ounce. Major indices initially popped after the Fed left interest rates unchanged, but fell hard in the final hour of trade. Apple rose 4.4% after reporting better-than-expected quarterly earnings and revenue. Apple's revenue is growing despite slowing demand for its marquee product. Revenue from the iPhone rose 14% in the company's fiscal second quarter, even though shipments of the phone only grew 3%. Apple suppliers like Broadcom have been warning of sputtering global smartphone sales as consumers hold on to phones longer or switch to cheaper models sold by Chinese rivals. The $1,000 price tag for the company's iPhone X, that's probably the biggest drag on demand. Wasn't technology supposed to be deflationary? CVS Health and Estee Lauder reported earnings that beat analyst expectations. Garmin and Clorox also posted stronger-than-forecast results. Spotify Technology posted quarterly revenue in line with its recent outlook and sharply lower operating losses in the music streaming leader's first financial report as a publicly traded company. Shares of Snap sank as much as 22%. Their first quarter number showed it losing confidence among users and advertisers due to a widely panned redesign of Snapchat. After the closing bell, Tesla posted its worst ever quarterly loss and said its Model 3 production target remains on track, expecting about 5,000 per week in about 2 months, although right now they're producing at less than half that rate. The company lost $709 million in the quarter. Cash burn slowed, but it remains a concern. Tesla gained about 1% in after-hours trade. Technology heavyweights like Apple, Amazon, and Intel, along with Wall Street's biggest banks, look like the early winners from Republicans' corporate tax cuts, boosting their bottom lines by more than $11 billion so far. S&P 500 companies on average have slashed their median effective tax rates to 21% in the March quarter, down 6 percentage points from a year ago. That's translated into a nearly $18 billion reduction in income tax provisions in the first quarter, more than half of which accrued to the benefit of the tech and finance industries. Reactions to earnings reports have been mixed, with some companies seeing their stock drop despite beating estimates. Seems a lot of good news has already been priced in. The Federal Reserve's Federal Open Markets Committee wrapped up a two-day policy session this afternoon by leaving its target for interest rates unchanged in a range of 1.5% to 1.75%, as expected. In its statement, the Fed said, "Information received since the Federal Open Market Committee met in March indicates that the labor market has continued to strengthen and that economic activity has been rising at a moderate rate. Job gains have been strong on average in recent months, and the unemployment rate has stayed low." Biggest development in the statement, however, was a tweak in the Fed's language with respect to inflation. The Fed's statement said, "On a 12-month basis, both overall inflation and inflation for items other than food and energy have moved close to 2%. In March, the Fed said that inflation excluding food and energy continued to run below 2% on a 12-month basis. And so in making this change, Fed officials are acknowledging that inflation is getting closer to its target. The Fed's statement had no mention of the trade tensions that some economists have warned could impact the economic outlook both in the U.S. and abroad. Fed also removed a sentence from the March statement which said, "The economic outlook has strengthened in recent months." Looks like the Fed's in no real rush to raise rates, even as inflation rises to its target. Now, just because the Fed did not raise rates doesn't mean that interest rates won't go higher. They are still on track for two more rate hikes this year. Those upcoming increases, on the heels of six recent quarter-point increases, have far-reaching consequences for consumers. Higher rates are not all bad. It means the economy is performing. You don't hike rates in a downturn. Higher rates also mean higher returns for savers, eventually. However, in daily life, higher rates also mean you'll have to pay more to access cash, including interest rates on credit cards or a home equity line of credit. Total credit card debt has reached its highest point ever, surpassing $1 trillion. That's according to a separate report by the Federal Reserve. If the Fed follows through on three rate hikes for 2018, that will cost credit card users almost $6 billion in extra credit card interest. A delegation of the Trump administration's top trade policy officials are in China hours away from talks on trade and tariffs. The U.S. is coming to the table with a laundry list of complaints about how China controls its markets. It's blamed China for unfair subsidies and facilitating intellectual property theft. The U.S. negotiators are planning to press China to reduce its $375 billion trade surplus with the U.S. and rein in planned investments in high-tech industries. For its part, the Chinese government has said it won't accept any U.S. preconditions for negotiations, such as abandoning its long-term advanced manufacturing ambitions or narrowing the trade gap. Trump administration officials this week have already lowered expectations for any kind of breakthrough in the talks, saying the trip could be cut short if it's not satisfactory. Recent U.S. sanctions against Chinese telecom company ZTE have only reinforced the notion that China needs to build its domestic tech industry. Neither side is optimistic about the prospect for a breakthrough in this round of talks. Threat of a trade war between the two countries continues to build. China and the U.S. have already signaled $50 billion of retaliatory tariffs are coming. Trump has promised an additional $100 billion in penalties if China does not cooperate with the U.S. Well, yesterday, the U.S. deferred a decision about whether to subject Europe to steel and aluminum tariffs. Trump at first announced sweeping and expensive measures designed to discourage imports of those products to the United States from around the world, but soon began distributing exemptions to some allies. The European Union got a reprieve, but it was just temporary. When it came time for Trump to decide whether to make it permanent, he instead extended it for 30 days, within which time, perhaps, he expects negotiators to be able to convince the Europeans to submit to Washington's demands. But the Europeans don't seem interested. European leaders like France's Emmanuel Macron and Germany's Angela Merkel lobbied hard during their respective trips to Washington last week in order to secure permanent EU exemptions to the tariffs, warning that the U.S. risked starting a trade war with its allies. In response to the 30-day extension, Brussels today struck an indignant tone, declaring in a European Commission statement that, "As a long-standing partner and friend of the U.S., we will not negotiate under threat." Now, the EU is a larger economy than the U.S. and is the U.S.'s largest trading partner, having exchanged upwards of $700 billion worth of trade last year and running a $150 billion trade surplus with the U.S. And the U.S. can't strike bilateral deals with individual European countries. Any deal must be struck with the entire 28-country bloc. Right now, it looks like a game of chicken, and unless someone blinks, there is a distinct possibility of a collision. Private sector employment remained strong in April. Automatic data processing, ADP, reported employers added 204,000 jobs. This is the sixth month in a row job growth above 200,000. Details of ADP's report showed that small firms added 62,000 jobs in April, medium-sized businesses added 88,000, large companies added 54,000. The ADP report offers a clue to the government's monthly non-farm payroll report due on Friday. It's widely estimated the economy added about 190,000 new jobs in April. And that might be enough to push the unemployment rate down to 4% from 4.1%. Two black men arrested while waiting at a Philadelphia Starbucks store have reached a settlement with the coffee chain and dropped legal claims against the city. Terms of the settlement with Starbucks have not been revealed, but the city of Philadelphia agreed to pay each man $1 and committed $200,000 to fund an entrepreneurship program for public school students. Starbucks plans to close 8,000 stores for a half day of anti-bias training on May 29th. And for the fifth day in a row, Arizona educators wearing red T-shirts demonstrated outside the Capitol as part of a statewide walkout to call for more money for schools and teachers. Organizers of the Red for Ed movement say they'll resume teaching on Thursday if lawmakers pass a budget that satisfies their demands, something the GOP-led legislature was not expected to do. The bill being considered provides more money for both schools and for raises, though not nearly to the extent that teachers had demanded when they walked out late last week. Dow Jones Industrial Average today down 174, finishing the session at 23,924. S&P 500 down 19 at 2,635, and the NASDAQ Composite down 29 at 7,100. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com for live streaming and archived audio, and our daily blog, Text Audio, free podcast, and much more at eatthebankers.com.